Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about some group opportunities for either fun activities or educational programs. Another source of accessible reading material, in this case actually a device you can use for reading, the Bookport Plus, and some portable PDAs that are accessible to the visually impaired. But first, on to our tip of the week. This week's tip is actually a book review, so in some sense the tip is a suggestion that you read the book, assuming you're interested after hearing the review. The Mind's Eye by Oliver Sacks was published in October of 2010 and is available in hardcover, large type, audio, and e-books editions. Oliver Sacks is a professor at Columbia University Medical Center. He's written 10 books and is a frequent contributor to the New York Times. And here's an excerpt from the book review that appeared in the New York Times. Oliver Sacks explores some of the most fundamental facets of human experience, how we see in three dimensions, how we represent the world internally when our eyes are closed, or presumably non-functioning, and the remarkable unpredictable ways that our brains find new ways of perceiving that create worlds as complete and rich as the no longer visible world. In The Mind's Eye, Oliver Sacks tells the stories of people who are able to navigate the world and communicate with others, despite losing what many of us consider indispensable senses and abilities, the power of speech, the capacity to recognize faces, the sense of three-dimensional space, the ability to read, or the sense of sight. For all of these people, the challenge is to adapt to a radically new way of being in the world. He explores here some very strange paradoxes. People who can see perfectly well but not recognize their own children. Blind people who become hypervisual or who navigate by tongue vision. Along the way, he considers more fundamental questions. How do we see? How do we think? How important is internal imagery or vision for that matter? Why is it that, although writing is only 5,000 years old, humans have a universal, seemingly innate potential for reading? The Mind's Eye is a testament to the complexity of vision and the brain and to the power of creativity and adaptation. And it provides a whole new perspective on the power of language and communication as we try to imagine what it is to see with another person's eyes or even another person's mind. And I pulled out a couple of little excerpts from an article that he had published in the New York Times a month or two after the book came out, where he describes some examples of people who have been able to navigate with alternative modes of seeing, if you will. So, for example, there's a biologist in California who's been blind since he was 3 years old and has identified many new species of mollusks based on the tiny variations in the contours of their shells. He uses a sort of spatial or tactile giftedness that is beyond what any sighted person is likely to have. Or an author blind since early childhood who navigates in part by using what he calls facial vision, the ability to sense objects by the way they reflect sounds or subtly shift the air currents that reach his face. And a remarkable boy who lost his sight at age 3 and developed an effective dolphin-like strategy of emitting regular clicks with his mouth and reading the resulting echoes from nearby objects. He was so skilled at this that he could ride a bike and play sports and somehow managed to even play video games. So, Pete, you've done some similar stuff. Everybody used to think when you whistled as you walked down the hall, it was just because you were happy. But I used to claim it was sonar.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I never really did it on purpose or realized I was doing this. I was just kind of a, you know, happy whistling, going down the hall type of thing. But I think subtly it was kind of a sonar for me. You know, you do hear things as I go by a pole or a wall. I can often sense that just from either the echoes around the room or how it sounds. In fact, one of my frustrations, occasionally I'll go to a musical concert and there'll be a pole in the middle of the auditorium, and they'll say, "Oh, well, just put Pete behind the pole. You know, he can't see anyway, and I don't want my vision blocked." And you know, it's just as disruptive for me being behind the pole because it affects the entire sound of what you're hearing.
In fact, he got so good at that that he actually sometimes thinks he's seeing more than he actually is.
Yes, I had a very interesting experience probably about 5, 6, 7 years ago when I had I was considering doing a cornea transplant. Although I had seen somewhat, I had some usable vision when I was younger, for the past many years I've had very little vision, barely light perceptible vision. And so we decided, gee, if we did this cornea surgery, my cornea was totally opaque at the time, would that help me see more? But one of the downsides was that I might not, you know, I might lose the eye totally and that surgery might not succeed. So as an experiment to see what I would miss if I lost total vision, I put on a patch for 3 or 4 days. And what I found was that it didn't make any difference. My mind was sort of seeing these things that my eye apparently wasn't. You know, I could visualize from when I was younger, I knew what doors and chairs and people looked like, and I was visualizing these things in my mind. So even with the patch on, I thought it would change what I was seeing, but it really didn't. So it was an interesting experiment. Your mind really does fill in some of these things.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll be talking about places and groups and organizations where you can go for either mobility training or just some summer fun or any kind of educational experience. So, Pete, you had an experience as a kid.
Oh, when I was young, we used to live in New York City, and the Lighthouse for the Blind wasn't too far away. And on weekends, they had a program where they would take blind children from around the city and let them participate in this program where they could, first of all, you know, group together to do something that, you know, they didn't have to compete with sighted kids to do, but also just involve them in everyday things that most other kids were doing. So, for instance, I had pottery lessons there, pottery classes. We did bowling in the afternoon. They took us swimming. In fact, that's where I learned to play guitar at a very young age. They gave me guitar lessons. So it was a lot of fun. It was, you know, for me, it was just play. But, you know, you need these kind of interactive things with other people your age and, you know, need to learn to try to do different things and enjoy different activities.
And the Lighthouse in Manhattan still offers very similar services, including rehabilitation and training on managing daily household tasks such as cooking, grooming, medications, financing, as well as special classes in music, computer, technology. They've got a program for pre-K children, and they even offer career services. And they have branches in many cities. So if you're looking for the Lighthouse, you can find them at www.lighthouse.org or call them at 1-800-829-0500. In New York State, you can find similar providers and other support services in your area via something called Blindline, which is a collaboration with the American Foundation for the Blind to provide direct access to a New York State statewide database of organizations and services for people who are blind and visually impaired. And you can get to them. It's no surprise. They have a great, easy-to-navigate website at www.blindline.org or 888-625-1616 if you're calling from inside New York State, or 212-625-3301 from outside New York State. And you'll be able to find some sort of program that's not too far from your home where you can get this kind of training. So we ran into an interesting summer camp in the area just because we happened to run into an acquaintance when we were out at a play one night. Oh, she says, let me tell you about Camp Smile.
Oh, Camp Smile was a fun place. It seemed like it was similar to the kind of thing I described that I attended at the Lighthouse when I was younger. This is a summer camp for blind kids of all ages, although I guess it was mostly high school kids and maybe junior high school kids. But it was essentially...
But they had a few in elementary school.
Did they?
As well.
I
yeah,
okay.
I think it's probably like all the way from kindergarten through at least the end of high school, maybe even age 21.
And they attend this program for a couple of weeks and just participate in everyday activities, so sort of a variety of activities that kids of that age would be involved in. So they had them riding bikes, and they'd have them ride tandem bikes if they couldn't ride it alone. They had them playing different sports and stuff like that. We actually went there to talk about, you know, being blind and my experiences being blind, growing up as a professional and just living life and stuff.
And the best part is it's free. The local Webster Lions Club sponsors the camp, including paying the whole fare and providing the space. And they've got a nice little cabin in the woods with big fields behind. It's a Monday to Friday day camp that runs in two consecutive two-week sessions. The last night is a sleepover, which is exciting. They bring in tents. And for many of these kids, it's the first time they've ever slept away from home. But it's a very safe environment. And they have so many volunteers. There's at least one volunteer for each camper. And sometimes they'll even have two volunteers for each camper.
So this is what's available in Rochester where we are. But I'm sure if you check where you live, you can find similar things, you know, depending on how far they are away.
Contact information for Camp Smile in Webster, and they actually service the entire county, is www.campsmile.org, or you can call the Webster Lions Club at area code 585-234-5480. So that's a great summer program in our area, but maybe in your area, or you don't mind commuting a longer distance, the Perkins School outside of Boston runs full-time and weekend programs, and often their tuition is paid by the local public school, and they'll do educational but also more fun sessions, and they can be contacted at Perkins, PERKINS.org, or the Hadley School in Winnetka, Illinois at Hadley, HADLEY.EDU, and they also have an 800 number. The Hadley School is at 800-323-4238, and they do a lot of distance learning, internet learning, so you can be at home and take many of their seminars and training programs without ever having to leave your house.
And a lot of that is free, by the way. I've downloaded some of their seminars from the web. You can just go there and test some of those things out. So check it out.
You are listening to Viewpoint. 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 Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic is another type of accessible reading material. Most of our discussions of accessible reading material cover ways of obtaining things to read. This week, we'll be talking instead about the Bookport Plus, which is actually a physical device that can be used to read the material that you've obtained other places. And it can be used to read books, magazines, and also to listen to podcasts, music, make voice memos, etc. Not wanting to play favorites, we want to mention up front there's a similar device called the Victor Reader Stream that's made by Humanware. And at the end, when we give the contact information, we'll give both.
We don't have time in this short segment to go over in detail a lot of the features of the Bookport, but just let me give you a highlight of what this device is. Basically, I would call it like an iPod or a Kindle combined for the blind. It's a very small device, about the size of a cell phone, I guess. It fits in your hand or pocket. And it's specifically made for the blind. So there's no display, but all the functions are geared to things that you're going to want to use. So as Nancy said, the first thing it is it's a book reader. So it will download the Audible Daisy books from NLS. It will download text-typed Daisy books from Bookshare, which we've talked about both of those in the past on this show. And it has a text-to-speech synthesizer to read those types of books. Some of the new features, they're just working on a beta now, which I've been testing on my Bookport here, which by the time you hear this program should be released. But in the new beta, you can actually put podcasts on there and download your podcast automatically because it has a Wi-Fi capability. You can put on internet radio streams. So I have a couple of hundred radio stations on here that I can automatically listen to and just carry this around with me. So it's really a very useful device. The other unique feature it has is the ability to take notes. So not only can it read text files character by character, word by word, or the whole thing at once, but it has, through its keypad and pressing combinations of keys, you can input text. And you can do that in one of several ways. You can either do it like people do on a cell phone, where they hit one key numerous times to get the letter they want, Or if you know Braille, you can actually input Braille through pressing the buttons in the correct pattern. So there are several ways of doing that. So let me give you a little sample of its voice and what it can do. I'm going to turn on the unit and it will beep.
Key lock off.
And there's a little key lock there so that if you put it in your pocket, it doesn't press buttons accidentally. And I'll look for a book here.
SD card, all titles list, select title, Daisy title, 6.
Jane Eyre.
Publication date, October 2008. Publisher?
National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, Library of Congress.
In the folder.
NLS.
So it tells
Acknowledgements.
Me...
Acknowledgements. This volume was created with a...
So it tells me that I have an NLS book on here in Daisy format on the SD card, and you can put in SD cards up to 32 gigabytes. You can save lots of stuff. So let me just play this, a little bit of this Jane Eyre book.
About Charlotte Bronte. A tremendous critical and popular success when it was published in 1847, Jane Eyre has remained one of the most highly regarded and beloved novels in the English language.
So that's what the voice sounds like, the audiobooks from NLS. Now, like the NLS player, which we previewed several weeks ago on this show, you can also speed up and slow down the voice, and let me give you a quick sampling of that.
So is that a human voice or a digitized
voice? Human,
yeah,
this is a human voice. This is an audio recording from NLS.
I thought she sounded awfully realistic.
Yeah, the NLS books are all audio. So let me play that for you, and then I'll speed it up, and you can hear that you can slow it down and speed it up.
So not all the voices sound like that. They get different humans, and some of them have British accents and some don't.
True. This one happens to have a cute British accent.
In an article published just 2 months after Charlotte Bronte's death, the prolific English novelist and journalist Mrs. Oliphant assessed the impact of the little governess who had so shocked the established authorities when Jane Eyre exploded on the scene.
So there you go. I went through a little demo where I sped it up and slowed it down. And every time I speed it up or slow it down, you hear a little beep. Now, it also has a speech synthesizer, as I said, built into it. So you can read books that are in a text DAISY format, like from Bookshare or a Word file that you might have in your computer or a TXT file. So let me find a book. I'm going to hit the title button, and then there's another button to list recent titles. So it listens to the, it gives you a list of the most recent things you listen to, and I'll pull one of the text files.
SD card, all titles list, recent titles list, select title, Daisy 2,
the fourth perimeter,
publication date, beginning of title.
Notice, this accessible media has been made available to people with bona fide disabilities that affect reading.
So this is a Bookshare book, and this is the copyright notice in the beginning. You can hear this voice is a little bit different because it's a text-to-speech synthesizer in here. Now, there are also a couple of text-to-speech voices in here. There's a female voice and a male voice. I like the female voice, but it's easy to change through the menu system. Let me just read a little bit more of this, and I'm going to go to a different section and speed it up for you to show you can speed up and slow down this voice also.
Can help us by providing any book quality feedback. We'll work hard to make those changes and republish the books. Begin content. Copyright 2002 by 2.
Now I'll slow it down.
All rights reserved. Reserved. No part of this book may be reproduced in any form or by any elect.
Okay, so you can see you've heard the audio books being read through here. You've heard the text-to-speech voices read in here. Now it also plays music. I can go to a music folder.
SD card. All titles lit. Select folder. Select category, Daisy title, 18, web radio, 1, podcast, 3, text, 20, music, 80, so 1, albums in this category.
Here's my music folder.
Beginning of album.
And this is a Billy Joel tune.
Don't go changing.
Okay, so I can carry around lots of my music that way. The other feature that I didn't talk about in the book port is that it has several types of recording functions. So there is, first of all, a quick memo function. If you're just going to make a quick recording that's less than 30 seconds, you hold down the record button, and it has a built-in microphone, and you can make a quick recording. If you want to make a longer recording, there is another way of doing that, and you can actually put headings in the recording and little bookmarks and things like that. This also has the ability in any book or music, audio or text, you can put in either bookmarks by number or you can put in recorded bookmarks. So if you're a student and you're reading a book and you go through and you want to make some little note at some certain section, you press the bookmark button and then the record button, and you can actually record yourself a little memo. So there are lots of features in here. And again, in the short time we have here, we don't have all the time to go into a lot of the details and specifically how to use it, but there's a very good user's manual that you can read on your computer, and the manual is also part of the device. If you do have a book port and you want to quickly get into the help manual, you just hit the zero key, which is the bottom center button, and that will get you into the documentation for the device.
So if you like that idea, you can buy one from the American Printing House for the Blind for only $329. I believe it comes with an SD card, but, you know, Pete keeps upgrading to bigger and bigger SD cards, so that costs additional if you want a 32-gigabyte SD card. Or you can find it on their website at www.aph, that stands for AmericanPrintingHouse.org, and it'll require some searching around. The specific URL that actually gets you to the device is really long and complicated, but if you call or email us, we'll be glad to give it to you.
It's a very useful device. This has made the most difference in my reading over the past several years. There was a predecessor book port, and between that book port and this book port, I've read over a couple 200 books.
And the phone number, if you'd rather call them, is 800-223-1839. And as promised, here's the contact information for the Victor Reader Stream, a very similar device from Humanware. You can go to humanware.com, so that was all one word, or call toll-free in the United States, 1-800-722-3393. Now for this week's high-tech item, just in case that Bookport Plus wasn't high enough tech for you, we'll be talking about accessible PDAs. As retired scientists, both we and most of our friends are really into high-tech gadgets. Some of our friends have already fished in for smartphones and or PDAs or personal digital assistants, and there are lots of great products available, but only a small fraction of those are actually usable by the visually impaired. Why, Pete, you're using a portable PDA right now.
True. I use a PacMate portable display from Freedom Scientific. And basically what this is, it's a PDA, although it's a little bit larger than you might expect, because it has a Braille display on it, and it has a speech synthesizer built in and a regular keyboard. So this is, how big would you say this is?
Well, the keyboard is the size of any regular computer keyboard. It's got full-size keys in the regular QWERTY layout, so it's that wide. And it's an extra couple inches front to back because of the Braille display that attaches on.
Right.
And so it's a little bit bigger than a hardcover book.
It has a 40-cell Braille display. I used a device like this at work when I was working as a scientist at Xerox. I would often take it to meetings so I could take notes in a portable way, and I didn't have to use the speech synthesizer to disrupt the meeting, but I could just read the Braille. So it was very handy for taking notes and doing things like that. And what's neat about the PacMate is it runs a Microsoft mobile operating system, Windows CE. So it runs many other applications that are commercially available that you couldn't put onto some kind of custom device. In addition, it has JAWS built into it, the screen reader that is used on the desktop machines. So if you're familiar with JAWS, you already know how to use most of the functions of a PacMate. The other thing that's nice is because it's one of the Microsoft mobile operating systems, it has all of the Microsoft Office applications in their mobile form. So you can read PowerPoint documents. You can't edit them, but you can read them. You can read and edit Word documents, other text documents. You can browse the internet, do your mail, and I've done all these things on here. So let me give you a quick demonstration. And first of all, I'm going to pull up the edit menu.
Start menu today to move through items. Active sync A.
Going to get into the programs menu and into the file manager, which is the equivalent of Windows Explorer.
File Explorer F. Leaving menus. File Explorer. Storage card list view VP1117 PTFS edit document 5.
So you can tell I'm in the storage folder here. This is my SD card on the device.
New speech demo FS edit document.
So I have a little demo document to let you hear how this reads. Let me open up this new speech demo document.
FS edit dash new speech demo dot FSD edit hyphen text.
Okay, the document is open, and now we'll read it.
Hello, I am Peter's talking computer. Using this computer, Peter can surf the internet, create and read documents, keep track of his appointments, and much, much more. As you can see, this is a very handy device. Can you see the braille changing as this text is read? Well, it was nice talking to you. By the way, did you know that I could say supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Not a bad machine, huh? So that sound was the sound of the PacMate turning off. And as Nancy said, there are other PDAs made by other companies, but this is just the one that I'm most familiar with and I happen to have here for demos. Humanware makes the Braille Note, which is a very similar device. They've customized with a lot of their own software. Some of these units you can put on additional things like a GPS unit that a blind person can use, and you can buy various add-ons, things for scanning cans and labels of things, and things like that. You can connect these easily to your computers via USB or wireless to transfer information back and forth. You can sync your Outlook calendars and mail and things like that. So they're pretty sophisticated devices. They are a little pricey. They'll run anywhere between $1,500 for a device with speech only up to around $5,000, depending on how big of a Braille display you want attached, if you want a Braille display attached at all.
And if you want to get one, you can contact Freedom Scientific, which makes this PacMate device, at either freedomscientific.com, or you can call them at 1-800-444-4443 within the U.S. or from anywhere else in the world, 727-803-8000. And as Pete mentioned, the Braille Note is a similar device available from Humanware. You can contact them at humanware.com, all one word, or in the U.S. at 800-722-3393. And if you just like to read a nice summary of these and other similar PDAs for the blind, you can go to visionaware.org/PDAS_FOR_THE_blind. So that's www.visionaware.org/PDAs_for_the_blind with underscores between the words. That's it for this week's show. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about food. We'll be covering shopping, cooking, including Pete's famous step-by-step bread recipe, getting recipes either online or in accessible formats, and actually eating the resultant food. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to us at reachout@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. This program was hosted by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. If you'd like to hear this program again, you can download a podcast of the show by going to our website at wxxi.org/reachout and clicking on the podcast's link. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.